Sports Desk, your 950 KJR Sports Headlines.
Yeah, buddy, here we go. Happy Monday. Headlines on Safi and Dick are brought to you by our friends at VenueKings.com. For all your spring training ticket needs, check out VenueKings.com.
There has to be a flag on that. That's ridiculous.
We'll start with the Seahawks. Carlos Dunlap, 5 sacks in 8 games with the Seahawks, released today, clearing $14.1 million in cap space for the Hawks.
You can say Dunlap. I can say Dak Prescott. How about this? 4 years, $160 million deal with $126 guaranteed with the Cowboys.
That is a lot of money.
And the only thing else I got to say is, how about them Cowboys?
Yeah! We got one college basketball game in the top 25 tonight. Number one, Gonzaga in Vegas in the Orleans Arena, hosting St. Mary's in the WCCC Conference Tournament semifinal game. Winner gets the winner of the BYU Pepperdine game tonight.
Huskies have lost their top returning wide receiver. Puka Nacua has entered the transfer portal, and he came on with us today saying it was purely family reasons.
Let's talk about that right now. Joining us from The Athletic, brand new daddy, Christian Capel, with us on the Beacon Plumbing Hotline, talking dogs. Been a while, been a minute. Christian, how are you, pal? What's going on, buddy?
Hey, I'm good. How you guys doing?
We are good. It's great to have you back on the radio show. Congratulations to you and your bride on the arrival of your first. We hope that's going okay. Can't wait to meet the little one at some point in time. But let's start off by talking about the news du jour that came down last night. Not really a giant surprise, been rumored for a while. Puka Nacua going to enter the transfer portal and leave Washington. How big a deal is this on the DEFCON meter, I guess, if you're a Husky football fan, man?
Yeah, I mean, I think it is a big deal. You know, it's kind of interesting if you just look at the numbers. Someone who doesn't follow the program might say, well, wait a second, you know, this guy played in 11 games the last 2 years. He's got 16 career catches. Like, how big of a loss could this really be? But from the moment he arrived at Washington, people knew what Puka Nacua was capable of as a receiver. He was a big play talent, had a couple of huge catches his freshman year, and you know, a lot of people thought he probably should have played more than he did, been targeted more than he did. It was really kind of just starting to get in the groove when he broke his foot, and that cut his year short. And then, you know, last year obviously was just really strange. He did have their only touchdown catch by a wideout last year. You know, again, you could see that big play potential. You could see he was a guy who could stretch the field, and would have been really interesting to watch him, you know, be healthy over the course of a 12-game season. But, it's not like he leaves them just completely void of talent at receiver. They did recruit that position well in 2020. I think there's a lot of reason to be excited about Romo Dunze and Jalen McMillan. I think it's those two guys who are going to have to really step up now and be that sort of big play, stretch the field weapon on the outside, because that's exactly what they thought Puka Nacua was going to be. And if he does develop into that, it's not going to be a Washington. So it's not an experienced group, even with his pretty modest career numbers in his first 2 years. He still was among their most experienced guys there. So it's a loss. There's no question.
Yeah, very talented, no question. Talk about the reasoning, though. Is this a style of play issue with a new head coach, or what was the reason that Puka decided to move?
I mean, you never truly know. Like, if they were wide open, throw, you know, would that have changed his mind? If he felt like he was going to be featured more, would that have changed his mind? I don't think that's necessarily a factor here. When the rumors really started, back in January about, you know, is he going to come back up to Seattle or not? You know, he was down home in Utah, and, a lot of speculation that he's going to, you know, probably maybe end up at BYU. I mean, that's a school getting thrown out a lot as a possible landing spot for both him and his brother, Samson, who was a receiver at Utah and is in the transfer portal. So, you know, I think if he does end up at BYU or a school, in that region, it's probably pretty easy to connect the dots that, you know, this was a situation of wanting to be closer to home. You know, obviously very, very family oriented, very, very close with his mom and all those sort of things. So, I would think that this particular instance probably has more to do with the player and you know, with him needing to do what's right for him personally than it does with the program necessarily.
Yeah, I think if he ends up at BYU with his brother, then that pretty much tells you everything you have to know. What is it with guys from Utah getting homesick, man?
Yeah, I have no idea. I will say, I mean, they recruited Ty Jones out of Provo, too, and he transferred, but he's going to Fresno State.
Right.
So, yeah, no, it's interesting. The transfer thing, you know, I get it. A lot of guys leave in a short amount of time, and you know, a couple at the same position there, a receiver and a quarterback. And, you know, it's easy and it's fair to wonder, you know, what's going on here. But you break it down into each individual situation and, you know, everybody's got their reasons. And it's also, you know, I think it speaks a little bit to how spoiled Husky fans became under Chris Peterson, that, you know, he had his faults and his old school preferences that maybe irritated people, but you could always depend on pretty much every recruit who committed to them signing with them on signing day.
Yeah.
And, you know, aside from the quarterback position, which is pretty much inevitable everywhere, they really never lost any key contributors to transfers. There wasn't a ton of turnover. He was really, really good at kind of maintaining the roster. And, you know, when there aren't decommitments and there aren't transfers, it's easy to take that for granted when things aren't happening. But then, you know, he's gone and the program's a little bit different. And,
yeah,
you know, the landscape of college football has changed. It's a lot easier to transfer. Everybody's going to be immediately eligible now this next season because of the pandemic. And, you know, it's college football kind of impacting UW for the first time in a big way.
I honestly think that's one of the reasons why Peterson got out, because of the transfer portal and how big a factor it was becoming. That and the name, image, and likeness thing, I think, were all things that did not appeal whatsoever to Chris Peterson. But Christian Capel, who appeals to everybody, is with us from The Athletic, talking some Husky football. And look, obviously you don't want to, you know, judge the entire temperature of a fan base by what you see on Twitter. That would be lunacy. But there are some concerns, I think, coming from some Husky fans about recruiting. They see what's going on down south at Oregon. How founded, unfounded do you think are those concerns for Dog fans, Christian?
I mean, I think it's fair. I think it's fair to wonder, you know, especially, you know, Jimmy Lake kind of put the pressure on himself, right? Right after he took over, he, you know, made a big show talking about how amazing, how talented the 2021 class was in state, how important it was to sign those guys. And, you know, they obviously, Sam Heward, hey, that's a huge signing. And I think it becomes easy to kind of overlook it or set it aside because, well, you know, he's Sam Heward, of course. He was always going to come to Washington. They didn't have to fight for him. That's not going to matter once he suits up and plays quarterback for him. Like, every touchdown pass he throws is still going to be worth 6 points. Nobody's going to be deducting victories from them because the quarterback leading them to wins wasn't someone whose commitment they had to work for. So, you know, let's not forget just how big of a signing that was. But, you know, they didn't get Emeka Egbuka, and it sure doesn't look like they're going to get JT Tuimoloau either. And everybody knew those were the big two, you know, though that was one and 1A right there. And those were major priority guys for Washington, pretty unprecedented opportunity to sign that many guys in Washington State, who were that sought after, and they couldn't make it happen. So you start there and, you know, recruiting rankings aren't everything. Obviously Chris Peterson kind of proved that it's possible to find a bunch of guys who defy the odds, but in the aggregate, you know, over several cycles, we know that the teams that sign the top classes are the ones who end up competing in the college football playoff. And this wasn't a class rankings-wise that was on that level. So I think that there, you know, there's some reason to be concerned. You know, I think if you're Jimmy Lake and you're this coaching staff, man, you need to play some games. You need some games to happen. You know, by September, he'll have been the head coach for, what, a year and 8 months, a year and 9 months, and still only coached 4 football games. So I think that, you know, there are some red flags, definitely. It's not gone swimmingly. It's not gone the way that, you know, if you'd drawn up the realistic ideal scenario when he took over, they probably haven't achieved that. But I don't think it's anything yet that, you know, a 10-2 type season can't fix necessarily. I think, you know, if they can go out, prove they can win football games, prove that, hey, you know, forget about the recruiting rankings, forget about the transfers. This is a talented program. This is a coaching staff that knows what it's doing. They can win games. They can compete for a conference title. I think that can do a lot to shift the perception.
Interesting you mentioned 10-2, because when Wilner was on last week, I asked him about the schedule, and he said they should be favorites in at least 10 games, and the other two, they should barely be underdogs. Do you buy that?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's similar to 2019, right? I mean, that's what you looked at that schedule and thought, hey, Jacob Eason at quarterback, yep. Oregon's at home, Wazoo's at home, Cal's at home. You look at the road schedule, and there's really not a lot, you know, daunting about it. They got 5 conference home games, only 4 conference road games. You know, there's a couple, you know, the back-to-back road game there, and back, you know, getting Oregon and Arizona State back-to-back after going to Stanford. You know, there's always going to be minor little gripes to nitpick or whatever. I think every team has those. But, yeah, the schedule breaks really well for them. They don't play USC. They don't play Utah. Their toughest games, at least so far, you know, other than maybe Stanford, look like they're going to be at home. Yeah, you're talking from a point spread perspective. I think, you know, it's easy to see that, you know, Washington's one of the most talented teams in the conference still. And, yeah, they probably are going to be betting favorites in nearly every game, just like they were, you know, expected to be in 2019. So it's weird. It does, because like Softy said, I mean, it does feel like every piece of news that comes out about the program right now is negative or received negatively. Yet it still feels like this is a really talented team with a lot of promise that should have as good a chance as anybody to compete for a conference title.
I do wonder, Christian, before you go, and again, Christian Capel is with us, how attractive will this be for a hotshot wide receiver when Jimmy Lake himself is a guy that jumped on a conference call with the media wearing a hat that says, run the damn ball?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a concern. The sample size, especially, you know, just I think a lot of factors converged last year that pointed to a run-focused offense, right? Freshman quarterback, first-time starter, no spring practice, new offensive coordinator, short schedule. The strength of your team is the offensive line. You kind of know what you've got at running back. And, you know, they felt like they could push teams around up front and, you know, get – move the ball that way. I think that they were probably a little more comfortable with Dylan Morris as the season went on. Probably, you know, I think looking back, especially at the Stanford game, you know, he was really efficient throwing the ball, missed a couple deep balls, right? I think there were probably a lot more opportunities to let him cut loose than what they did. But, you know, they played 4 games, right? I think there's a lot of stuff probably that they put in or haven't put in yet that you're going to see over a 12-game schedule that they just didn't get to. You know, they didn't play enough games to build off of the things that they put on tape, right? So, it would be silly to think that there's not more to the offense than what they've shown, but it does remain to be seen whether this is going to be an offense that features receivers, you know, whether this is going to be an offense that someone like Emeka Egbuka or you know, another touted receiver is going to look at and say, yeah, I can – you know, I can catch 70, 80 balls in that offense. I can put up a 1,000-yard season. You know, I can really put a lot of highlights on tape playing for the University of Washington, playing for Jimmy Lake and John Donovan. So, I mean, I think the jury's out, and it's one more data point that points to, like, they need to play games and they need to play a lot of them to actually really show people what this program's about now.
At Christian Capel on Twitter. We appreciate that, by the way. There's no hyphen, underscore, none of that nonsense. So just follow Christian at Twitter for all the great Husky stuff he puts out there. At Christian Capel on Twitter. Great job, man. Go back to being a dad. We'll talk soon, buddy. Appreciate this, pal.
All right, will do. Thanks, guys.
You got it. Christian Capel, Dick. We'll get a break. Husky basketball Wednesday, 4 o'clock versus Utah. Dan Dickow, former Dog, former Zag. We're going to check in with him next on Softy and Dick right here on 950 KJR.